Okay, so is there anybody here who never suffers from distraction? No? I was just thinking of this story. It's like sometimes God just hands you illustrations. I was having a conversation with a colleague today, and we talked about what we were supposed to be talking about for about 10 minutes, and then somehow we ended up talking about Milo the Chonk, who's a tabby on Instagram with like 5 million followers, a cat. Anyway, that's an example of something that can distract you. Tonight we're going to talk about the voices that surround us, what we're tempted to listen to, what we should listen to, and what we shouldn't listen to. So bear that thought about what distracts you in mind as we come to God's word and listen to his voice. Speaking of that, let's take our Bibles, and we're going to turn to Deuteronomy 18. But we're going to back up a little bit from where we started in studying for tonight's lesson. We are going to start in verse 9 for some context. Deuteronomy 18, beginning in verse 9, we read this. Moses is speaking. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations, which you are about to dispossess, listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, 'How may we know that the word of the Lord has not spoken?' When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him." Let's pray before we get started. God, thank you for your word that you've given us. I pray that you would help us to think clearly, that you would, just in practical terms, keep us awake and keep us from distractions. And help us to see what you have for us in your word tonight. Help us to see Jesus. In his name, amen. So speaking of distractions and things that can distract us, there are 6,000 newspapers and 15,000 radio stations in the United States. But that's actually nothing. There are 3.2 million podcasts that you can listen to. There are 10.2 million influencers on Instagram, including Milo, and about 2 billion websites. We are surrounded by information. And all around us are voices that compete for our attention. We really can listen to whatever we want, whomever we want, whenever we want. But that begs the question, who should we listen to? From beginning to end, what the Bible tells us is that God speaks. We see this story worked out through the pattern that existed in the Garden of Eden, the problem that our sin created, God's promise to deal with our need, and God's provision of prophets to speak his word to his people. And ultimately, we see that Hebrews 1 reminds us that long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Of all those voices that compete for our attention, his voice is the only one that really matters. So as we turn our attention to God's provision of prophets for his people, God's word to us is clear. Listen to Jesus and live. So our lesson begins tonight in a place we've been before, the Garden of Eden. We start there because it's in the creation narrative that we see God's people in God's place, living under God's rule, and hearing God's voice as he intended. From the beginning of the creation account, we see an emphasis in Scripture on God's voice. The phrase, "and God said," appears 9 times just in Genesis chapter 1. We also see that God blessed Adam and Eve. He spoke directly with them, and he gave them a commandment directly. You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Their relationship with God was unbroken, and their communication with him was direct, was unhindered by sin. But sin introduced a problem. Genesis 3:8 tells us that sin built a barrier between God and the people he created. They were ashamed. And we read there that they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. God continued to speak, but they could not enjoy his presence among them as they had in the beginning. That's where God's people find themselves later, after God redeemed them from slavery in Egypt. The people gathered at the bottom of Mount Sinai, where God was about to enter into a covenant with them. We read about what happens next in Exodus 19, beginning in verse 16. And there we read this. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. What we see here is that God revealed his glory to the people in what they saw and heard on the mountain. The thick cloud indicated the presence of God. The trumpet announced his majesty. The fire and smoke represented his judgment. The thunder and the earthquakes conveyed his power. But God also revealed his glory in his words, by speaking. as the mountain quaked and the trumpet blared and the fire and the smoke rose from the mountain, God spoke the Ten Commandments. He declared his identity, and he revealed his perfection and his holiness in his law. The God who spoke from Sinai is a God who will judge. His glory and his word can't be separated. Well, sometimes when I read a passage like Exodus 19, I'm a visual person, visual learner and processor, and I almost picture it from a distance. So it's almost like I'm a drone hovering over Mount Sinai. I'm really removed from the situation, but it helps me sometimes to picture myself, where would I be in this situation? So actually think of yourself for a second as an Israelite at the base of Sinai. Close up. The mountain is burning. It's smoking. It's rumbling. And the blast of an unseen trumpet is getting louder and louder and louder. In Deuteronomy 5, Moses recalled what happened next. As soon as you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, "Behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. This day we have seen God speak with man, and man still live. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire as we have and has still lived? Go near, Moses, and hear all that the Lord our God will say and speak to us, all that the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear and do it." Since it's January, we can still talk about Christmas, right? For Christmas, my husband gave me AirPods, and that increased my coolness factor. I have a teenager. It increased my coolness factor immediately. But I also learned that they can be pretty useful. One of the things that I didn't know is that you can actually use AirPods to test your hearing using your phone. Did not know that, so I did it. It turns out that my hearing is fine. But if I had learned from that hearing test on my couch that I did have a hearing problem, it wouldn't be very smart of me to blame my hearing problem on what I was listening to. The problem would be my hearing. The problem would be a problem in me that needed to be fixed. And this is what God's people recognized. They could no longer stand directly in the presence of God's glory to hear his word because sin had come between them. They had a hearing problem. And the problem wasn't God. The problem was them. As we continue to read in Deuteronomy 5, we see that God agreed with what they said, and he commended them for it. Their words showed that they acknowledged his holiness, that they revered him, and that they recognized their own sin. So in his grace, God provided a way for them to hear his voice, but live through Moses, who would speak his words for him to his people. But this raised a different question. What about when Moses could no longer speak for God? The answer is that God promised to provide. And we read about that promise in tonight's passage from Deuteronomy 18. At this point, God's people were getting ready to enter the land that he had promised them. And through Moses, God gave them a lesson in listening. God started with the negative, instruction about who not to listen to. Like us, the people of Israel were going to be surrounded by voices competing for their attention. And if you think back to the first few verses that we read together before I started, the people in the land that they were going to enter were listening to all the wrong voices. They followed false gods, and they looked for secret knowledge from any and every source they could find. God was clear in his judgment and his word to his people. The Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. So the first part of their lesson in listening was who not to listen to. But then God followed with the positive, who they should listen to. Through Moses, God recounted what happened at Mount Sinai. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. There's the positive. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they've spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. God promised a prophet for his people. The context helps us to see a little more clearly what's in view here. If you go back into chapter 17 and look at the beginning of chapter 18, this section contains God's instructions for his people about authority. So he instituted judges. He gave guidance for their kings. He provided for the priesthood. And then in the verses that we come to tonight, the pattern continues. They describe another office that God was establishing for Israel's benefit, the office of prophet. God told them that the office of the prophets would be filled by those who were God's choice. Like Moses, they would be raised up by God from among the people of Israel. They would not come from the surrounding nations. Their role would be to speak God's message. God would put his own words in the prophet's mouth, and the prophet would speak all that he commanded. Because the prophet would be the person that God chose, speaking God's words, prophets would speak with God's authority. So Deuteronomy leaves us with the death of Moses, who was the first prophet. But we don't need to look far to see God's provision for his people, just as he promised. We see it first in God's provision of the Old Testament prophets. Like Moses, the Old Testament prophets were raised up by God from among God's people, and they spoke his message. That message was a message of judgment. The prophets functioned like prosecutors. They would read out the charges that God had to bring against the nations, and then the charges that he had to bring against his own people for their unfaithfulness to his covenant. So it was a message of judgment, but it was also a message of hope. Hope of repentance, of restoration, and ultimately the certain hope that would be found in the Messiah. Through these prophets that God provided to speak his words to his people, God's people heard about his son, and they looked forward to his coming by faith. But this wasn't the full picture of God's provision for his people. Well, it's important to remember that there was nothing wrong with the message spoken by the prophets. Their words were God's words. But think back to what we said a few minutes ago. The prophets had a hearing problem. The people had a hearing problem. And the prophets couldn't cure it. Although they spoke God's perfect words to his people, the people still heard from God indirectly. They still couldn't endure the presence of God's glory and his greatness because their sins still got in the way. Now, if you see a hint of something more in God's promise, you're correct. Because by the time of Christ, the Jewish people had come to recognize that there was another layer to God's words. And that layer was the hope of a final prophet that was to come. That's why when the Jewish leaders confronted John the Baptist, they asked a question that might not occur to us. They said, "Are you the prophet?" When Jesus fed the 5,000, the minds of the people went to Deuteronomy 18. And when they saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." God bridged the gap created by sin in his provision of Jesus, who is God's word made flesh. In Jesus, the glory of God that made the people of Israel tremble in fear at the base of that mountain took on a body like ours and walked among us. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's John 1:14. Like the prophets, Jesus was God's choice. He was sent by God. In Mark 9, we read the story of when Jesus was transfigured. We read that his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we're here. Let's make three tents." I love Peter. "One for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." So Jesus, prophet, right? He didn't know what to say because they were terrified. And then a cloud overshadowed them and a voice came out of the cloud. "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." If that sounds something like Deuteronomy 18, that's intentional. So Jesus was God's choice to fulfill the office of prophet because he was sent by God. He was also from among his brothers. In Hebrews 2, we read that Jesus was made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. He was God's choice. Jesus also spoke God's message. He was God's final word. He was both the messenger and the message of judgment and of hope. We heard last week as a reminder that when Jesus spoke with his disciples, as recorded in Luke 24, he told them that everything in all of their scriptures actually pointed to him. So Jesus was God's choice. He spoke God's message, and he spoke with life-giving authority. And here is the answer for our hearing problem. The Word made flesh, dwelling among us, showing us his glory. But when Jesus speaks, he offers life. He offers safety from the terror that God's people experienced when they heard the voice of God thundering from Sinai. And Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." That's why, of all of the voices that compete for our attention, the voice of Jesus is the one voice that we must listen to. So, how do we do that? We listen to his voice when we come to him in faith, trusting in all that he has done. In John 6, Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God." We listen to him in the word that he has given us, because we know that in Jesus, we have the word of all the prophets confirmed with certainty. That's 2 Peter 1:19. We also listen to Jesus when we're discerning about the other voices that compete for our attention. Hebrews 1 tells us that long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Ladies, Jesus is better than any other prophet, because in him, God speaks to us directly. He's fixed our hearing problem. We no longer have any need for someone else to bridge that gap that our sin created. We don't need a prophet to stand between us and God, because we have Jesus, God's final, perfect, and authoritative word. The people of Israel recognized that if they heard the voice of God in his glory, they would die. But Jesus, God's perfect, final word, reveals God's glory and speaks words of life. He offers life now, and he offers life to come. And in him, the pattern that was anticipated in the Garden of Eden is restored. God's people in unbroken communication with him. And God says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Lord God, we are so thankful for the privilege that we have to have your word and to be able to see in your word that your son has solved our hearing problem. We praise you, Lord Jesus, because you are the word who became flesh and made your dwelling among us, and we beheld your glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth. Lord, help us to listen when other things make demands on our attention and try to crowd out what you have said to us in Jesus. Help us to treasure your Son above all things for the glory of your name. Amen.